into sports.
20 yards out, Urch to shoot, don't shoot! Oh, what a goal from Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah. No.
Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap.
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports. Ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your app store and download it now.
The News Round on Off The Ball.
With Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
This is News Talk.
Now then, very welcome along to this evening's Off The Ball. Another Champions League evening ahead, including Leipzig at Old Trafford. Juventus and Barcelona are in Turin, minus Ronaldo this evening, Juventus. Brian O'Driscoll joins us this hour for Wednesday Night Rugby. We will talk to Kate Buford. She's a brilliant speaker, brilliant contributor on the greatest athlete you've probably never heard of, Jim Thorpe. Dan McDonald is on the football show. We'll talk to Robert Grieve as well of the Scottish Sun. Neil Lennon under big pressure just now and raging against fake news. And we'll hear from the women's GPA on the back of their players' survey. It doesn't make for great reading in lots of places. No mileage for players whatsoever. Paying for their own physio, paying for their own medical bills in the main. That's on the way around 8:40 or so. 53106, the text number. We're at Off The Ball on Twitter. Richie McCormick, hello.
Joe, you're lengthening that aura with every passing day, and I'm here for it, Joe. I'll be honest with you.
McCormick.
It's going, Richie, how are you? You well?
Not too bad. So I'm excited. Do you want to know why?
I do.
We all remember Julian Nagelsmann's suit for the Champions League semi-final against PSG last year, yeah?
A dapper man. Yeah, it's hard to differentiate the seasons. Everything's stretched out and everything's melded together. It's what Doc Brown always feared.
Last season, this year. So this was the promise he made the media ahead of his trip to Old Trafford. I have a special outfit for you tomorrow night. The trouser will not be that special, but the rest is kind of special. Not as special as the suit against PSG, but kind of special. It's a bit in the British style, he said, and left it at that. So,
have we seen it yet?
No.
I tell you what, though.
I've whetted your appetite, haven't I?
You have, but he's got some ways to go if he's to match our dear old friend Filippo Giovagnoli. I don't know if anybody's seen the pictures that have been doing the rounds from his Zoom press conference earlier on this evening, but he's like, this is just your standard run-of-the-mill match day minus one. What to expect from Arsenal? What are you going to do at the Emirates? Where are you going to be seated given your, you know, badges situation, etc., etc.? But Filippo turns up in this immaculately cut black suit, black shirt, black tie, and he has his little Peaky Blinders cap going on. Filippo has brought a whole new level of sartorial elegance to the League of Ireland, not seen since the halcyon days of Roddy Collins and his regular trips into Capel Street to Louis Copeland's. It's just magnificent stuff.
It's very nice.
From
very
Father
nice.
Pippo.
He continues to go up in our estimation. Dan McDonald's on the football show later on. We're going to play Dan asking Mikel Arteta some of the hard questions. You know, the Irish journalists in there quizzing Mikel. Mikel, this is the level that we're at suddenly.
These are actual questions, Mikel. This is what you should be getting on a week-to-week basis from your UK counterparts.
So that's all on the way. It's just me and you for the news round this evening because we're making some space for different bits and bobs, including Brian O'Driscoll this hour ahead of Ireland's trip to Paris. Team was named today. That is to come in Richie's news round, which is with thanks to Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters. Where are you starting?
We will start with events surrounding the Irish rugby team. Head coach Andy Farrell making just one change to the side that demolished Italy for Saturday's Six Nations showdown with France. Robbie Henshaw replaces the injured Gary Ringrose at outside centre, so Chris Farrell is promoted to the replacements bench. Jacob Stockdale continues at full back with Andrew Conway and Hugo Keenan on the wings. Henshaw is partnered by Bundiaki in the centre with Jonathan Sexton and Conor Murray as expected the halfbacks. CJ Stander is again joined in the back row by Will Connors and Caelan Doris. Ian Henderson and Ty Byrne continue in the second row, while Andrew Porter and Rob Herring join the Centurion Keane Healy in the front row in Paris. The last time Ireland scored four tries, I've been doing some digging on this one, Joe, they lost. And despite needing a bonus point on Saturday, Farrell's warned against excess risk-taking.
High-risk strategy, probably not. A plan that we know, that we're comfortable with, that we can play our own game and see how that affects France along the way as well. You know, it's going to be a game of feel, isn't it? You know, the game's for 80 minutes and we'll feel how the game's going throughout, but there certainly won't be one of high risk strategy. Otherwise you've seen the type of team that we're playing against. You know, we could end up shooting ourselves in the foot massively.
Yeah, it doesn't really seem like we're a let's go for broke kind of a team and take on the French at their own game. So I'm not surprised to hear Andy Farrell say that. I was wondering as well, the last time we scored four tries, 2006, that game where Ireland were basically buried. They were like 40 points to three down or something. And just, well, kind of got back into it in a very real way for a little while. Six tries to four, I think it was, in the end, back in 06. Brian O'Driscoll on the way this hour anyway. Where are we going next?
To Lausanne, basically, because Connacht will be reacquainted with former head coach Pat Lam in the group stage of this season's Heineken Champions Cup. They've been drawn to play Lam's Bristol Bears, who of course won the Challenge Cup, and last season's Champions Cup runners-up Racing in the pool stage. Leinster will play Montpellier and Northampton. Munster face games against Clermont and Harlequins, while Ulster will go up against Gloucester and Toulouse. All four provinces face home and away games against each of their opponents, with the first round of matches due to come in mid-December. This is the all-new reconfigured and slightly bigger Champions Cup, which is about as easy to explain as the UEFA Nations League.
Yeah, we'll not try just now. So Champions League this evening then.
Yeah, and there was a 5:55 start to the Group E encounter in Russia, just approaching the hour mark there. Krasnodar 0, Chelsea 1 is the latest score. Callum Hudson-Odoi with the shot, breaking the deadlock in 38 minutes, aided by some woeful keeping from the Krasnodar custodian. At 8 o'clock then in that group, it will be Sevilla entertaining Rennes. At the same time, in Group H, Manchester United face current Bundesliga leaders RB Leipzig and their suitably attired head coach Julian Nagelsmann. The Manchester United starting 11 is thus: David De Gea starts in goal. It's a back four of Aaron Wan-Bissaka, Victor Lindelof, Harry Maguire and Luke Shaw. Nemanja Matic and Fred anchor the midfield. In front of them, the interesting looking trio of Mason Greenwood, Paul Pogba and Donny van de Beek, the lesser spotted Dutchman, with Anthony Martial leading the line. For Leipzig, Peter Galazzi starts in goal. Benjamin Heinrichs, Ibrahima Konate, Dayot Upamecano and Kim Halsenberg are their defence. Kevin Campbell, Danny Olmo and Emil Forsberg are in midfield, with Christopher Nkunku and Angelino providing the width for Yusuf Poulsen, the Danish striker. Elsewhere in that group, Istanbul Başakşehir face Paris Saint-Germain. There's a 5:55 start to that one. Still scoreless it is. In Group F tonight, Borussia Dortmund face Zenit St. Petersburg and Club Brugge play Lazio. And in Group G, Juventus take on Barcelona in the night's glamour tie. The other tie in that group sees Ferencváros facing Dinamo Kiev.
There are varying interpretations of how Manchester United's 11 will line out this evening. The one which has just flashed up on the television, and they do often get the heads up from UEFA. Flat back four, as Richie said, Shaw, Maguire, Lindelof and Wan-Bissaka. They have it then as a diamond in midfield. So Matic anchoring that diamond. He's got Fred and Pogba either side of him. Danny van de Beek in midfield at the point of the diamond. And then it's Martial and Greenwood, that split striker combo that Solskjaer sometimes
it's like an old school Spurs lineup from the late 80s, early 90s when Gary Lineker was playing up front with Gordon Jury. It's that kind of midfield.
Well, he's trying ultimately, you suspect, to figure out a team
where everybody can play,
will accommodate Pogba and Bruno. Now Bruno doesn't play tonight, so Van de Beek is in. We can take him as the Bruno representative. So he's got a diamond there with Van de Beek this evening, or Bruno usually, with Pogba to the left of him and Fred, and then Matic anchoring the diamond. So, you know, you're sacrificing, you know, one of the three up top then. So Rashford doesn't play this evening. It's Martial and Greenwood, and you suspect Greenwood will ultimately be sacrificed on bigger games, and Rashford will come in, and then Bruno would come in for Van de Beek, and that's how you get them both on the side. But, as is the case for Manchester United and Solskjaer at the moment, this is one of the first times they've gone with this shape in a game like this. So they
Speak highly to Solskjaer's decisiveness.
Well, it's tricky.
And I know he's backed himself into a corner whereby they've bought somebody that they don't necessarily need, and they have to accommodate a £90 million midfielder who hasn't lived up to expectations over the past 3-4 years. But, like, if you're a manager, the one thing you have to know is what system you're going to play first and foremost, and then how best to accommodate everybody you have at your disposal into that system. I don't think going into the second group game in the Champions League against the Bundesliga leaders, when you've struggled for wins at home and you're kind of pushing pieces about the old tactics board and going, if I put him here and put him there, then there's obviously more involved in it than that. Now we've got to give him more credit than that, but it is just seems a little bit off.
Well, I do think Van de Beek has been bought in anticipation of selling Pogba over the next 2-3 years. So I think that's why he's there, and he may not play in as much as he would like in the short term. What's going on at the moment on Solskjaer's part, to be fair, is probably just an acknowledgement that despite the early success of Pogba, Bruno and another midfielder and then the front three ahead of them, other teams have figured it out and there are deficiencies defensively with it. So he's almost on a journey at the moment, Solskjaer, you suspect, trying to figure out this thing again. And as you rightly say, Leipzig coming to town isn't the easiest place to try and do that, but that's where they are. We'll keep an eye on the game. Who knows, they may line out somewhat differently. We'll have to see. That game gets underway at 8 o'clock. Dan on the football show will keep an eye on the game as well. Where else we go?
Leaside, Cork City's week promises to get even more eventful tonight without a ball even being kicked. Days after their relegation to the First Division was confirmed, the club could change hands for as little as a euro. Cork's Forest members are to vote on a takeover proposal from Grovemore, a company run by the Preston North End owner, Trevor Hemmings. That will go on tonight and the future of Cork City will become more clear.
Yeah, that's potentially a huge story, isn't it?
It seems like the board members for us have given this their backing, and there've been others who've come out in favour of it as well, who would be in fairly prominent positions. Now, how that translates to the rank and file of the, I think it's 600 membership down there, like, I don't know. It would strike me as being a very rash thing to do. I appreciate the financial position they found themselves in over the course of the last 2 years, especially, and that things haven't gone well for them on the pitch. I would disregard how things have gone on the pitch and just see this from a business proposal. I don't think, after they worked so hard to get the club back on its feet, and after they put so much of their own effort, time, and indeed money into the club, why you would then walk away from it and give it over to somebody who may have scant interest in actually looking after it the way it needs to be looked after down there. Because Cork City, in League of Ireland terms, are a massive club.
Yeah.
And they need a successful team on Leaside. It's taken a leap into the unknown, and that's never good from a League of Ireland perspective. I, as a Bohemians fan, I should know.
Especially when the current model is fan ownership. You know, ultimately, that'd be something we should all strive for. It'd be great if it worked. So for us, that's Friends of the Rebel Army Society. They re-established Cork City after they went into liquidation in 2010. So 10 years on, if they're having to sell the club for literally a euro to the owner of Preston North End, that would be a pity. So it's up to 600 members this evening to decide what the best plan is. Again, Dan on the football show, I'm sure, is very clued into this story. So I would think by 9 they'll have voted and we should have word. Where are we going?
Yeah. To Spain, the Rioja region today. Dan Martin came home third on today's 8th stage of the Vuelta a España. He was behind the stage winner Primoz Roglic and the overall race leader Richard Carapaz. Martin ends the day third on general classification as well, 28 seconds down on Carapaz. He's lost a little bit of time, but it looks like that top three of Carapaz, Roglic and Martin are going to be the ones contending for the rest of this stage. Two flat stages to come and then a pretty tricky mountainous looking one on Sunday. The president of the Olympic Federation of Ireland, Sarah Keane, is confident that the rescheduled Tokyo Games will go ahead next summer. The 2020 Games were postponed for a year, as we know, after the COVID-19 outbreak. Doubts still remain if a vaccine has not been found by then that they can go ahead, but IOC President Thomas Bach is insistent they will happen in 2021, and Keane said today that she thinks they will as well.
I'm very much of the view that the Games are more likely to go ahead than not. President Bach himself has stated that is an absolute priority for them to ensure the Games do go ahead. They obviously want to ensure the public, you know, that they don't do anything but support people from a public health perspective, everybody involved in it. But I suppose they also feel that it is possible based on the work they've done so far and on those who they're working with. And they also believe that the athletes in particular and those supporting the athletes, coaches, etc. involved do deserve this.
Richie, short and sweet this evening. Thanks very much.
No worries, man.
Cheers for that. That's Richie McCormick with his news round. We have got Brian O'Driscoll on the way next.
The News Round on Off The Ball.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
This is News Talk.